Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
Now, since joining the EU, one thing was certain. Its economic success was driven by a Germany that never seemed to fade, yet alone show signs of failing. That image has started to change as Germany is now seen as a sluggish economy with some long-term problems. My next guest has written a book outlining what these problems are and how dangerous they are to the German economy. It's great to welcome Wolfgang Munchau. He's the author of Kaputt, The End of the German Miracle. Welcome, Wolfgang. You're very welcome to the program.
Thank you, Bobby, for inviting me.
Now, just a couple of things. It's a very interesting economy. Firstly, it was, I suppose, built on an export-driven economic model. And certainly during Angela Merkel's reign, it would have been widely seen as the leader of the free world. So those two things, industry-based and then export-led, which meant it had huge tentacles in other economies.
That's absolutely right. Germany was industry-based. It's very unusual for a large economy like Germany to be so specialized. Small economies, you know, Ireland as an example, is specialized. Large economies tend not to be specialized, but Germany was, and Germany specialized basically on three sectors. It's mechanical engineering, cars, chemicals, and exports. And, you know, Germany drove huge exports, and when Germany isn't having export surpluses, Germany is in recession. That happened in the early part of the Eurozone. There was a previous period where Germany was nicknamed the sick man of Europe. It's sort of a trophy that seems to make the rounds. Germany had it in the early 2000s. But then there was a recovery. There were reforms. Germany became more competitive. But, you know, where I take issue with the general description of what this book is about and what I've been sort of arguing also for quite a long time in my newspaper columns is that the problems with Germany started a long time ago. They only became visible in the last couple of years. I completely agree. Economic growth is very low and they don't seem to be able to get out of the slump. However, this stuff happened, you know, there was Gerhard Schröder cutting secret deals with Putin over, you know, gas. There was an industry that was heavily subsidized through and also heavily supported by a banking system that was very much geared towards supporting these industry, also supported by research institutes that were linked to universities. So the entire economy, the entire sort of institutional structure was very much geared for, you know, making companies like Volkswagen or BASF successful. Now, Germans didn't invest in digital technology. They're not into digital stuff at all. The worst telephone network in Europe, and telecommunications, you know, when you go to Germany, people think their phones are broken because there are long gaps in reception. Also fiber optic network, they're lagging behind. They're certainly nowhere in AI. They wanted to become a world leader in AI and they're nowhere. So that's basically didn't happen. And so they kept on with their model. VW, BMW, you know, Mercedes did not invent the electric car. You know, Germans in the 19th century invented the car, but they did not clearly not invent the electric car. And it was China that invested heavily into this segment and the United States. But German car companies, even though they had the money, they didn't do this. And so now they're basically in a situation where they're lagging and they're following and they haven't got a clue of how to compete.
Right.
So that it happened a long time ago. And also these dependency this created. Now, they were dependent on Russia for gas. They were dependent on China for exports. And now there is a geopolitical shock and it's going to be difficult for them. And they're not sort of the people who say, okay, this is, you know, not working out. We're going to just change into other sectors. They're really geared towards these sectors. And this is sort of what my book writes about is that Germany is good when they're good. Then when these industries prosper, they are very good. But when something happens, when, you know, it's a bit of a fair weather model, you know, it works in certain periods, but it doesn't work in other periods, and we're in one of those other periods.
Yeah, and just a couple of things just to pick up on there. You mentioned the dependence on Russian gas. That's kind of a double whammy in one way. Firstly, obviously, there's the logistics of a close company getting all your gas from there. But secondly, as a user of gas, because Germany is industry-based, they're a huge consumer of gas. So it meant that any unavailable supply hit them doubly hard.
Indeed, that happened. Things have actually eased up. I mean, one of the things the German government did, and that was one of the most successful things they did, they actually managed the transition. You know, the Nord Stream pipelines, this is where the name of the pipeline they got their gas from through the Baltic Sea and from Russia, they were blown up approximately 2 years ago. And it took them, you know, not very long to actually change the gas supplies towards liquid natural gas. So this is a liquefied LNG gas, for which they built terminals. And they, you know, the transition has kind of happened now it's more expensive than the Russian gas. That's for sure. But prices are pretty much where they were like 7 or 8 years ago. So it's not really an energy crisis anymore. And yet the industry is having difficulty because competitors have it better. American prices are a quarter of the German gas prices.
Yeah. Chinese. It makes them a higher cost producer.
Absolutely.
And the other thing you were saying there, Wolfgang, about companies like VW, Audi, BMW, just a small group of companies, where all the wealth was being generated. Has that led to a kind of a national income inequality, i.e. if you work for those companies, you get paid very well, but other companies not so much?
That's indeed the case. These companies have been very rich. They've also been very good for the economy, and this is why this is actually an economy-wide crisis. If VW and BMW are in crisis, that means there's an entire supplier network that's in crisis. And I, you know, from the figures that I've seen, there is about 11% of the German economy's value added is sort of directly and indirectly accounted for by the car industry. This is huge for a big country like Germany. And, you know, everybody, it was like a massive food chain that the car industry sort of generated. Now with the movement to electric cars have fewer parts. Most of those parts are not the kind of things they're specializing in. Batteries are mostly protected. The entire battery supply chain is mostly, you know, Chinese owned. The Europeans seem to have difficulty making batteries. All these battery ventures are in real deep financial crisis. So this means that even if Volkswagen in the end succeeds and the German car manager succeeds selling some of their cars on the world markets, there will be a lot less to go around for this massive sort of, you know, for the massive hangers on and this sort of the car industry supply chain. And that's not just within Germany, but also within the EU. There are lots of companies like, you know, in Central and Eastern Europe, like Slovakia is particularly dependent on the car industry. Poland has a lot and others. So this will be sort of a ripple. This will have ripple effects through the EU. And what really needs to happen, I think Slovakia and others will be probably better at doing this. They'll need to really wean themselves off that dependency and basically say, okay, we've had a good time, but, you know, we need to do something else and, you know, invest in other technologies and allow other companies to prosper.
Can I ask you about the 30-year cost of the unification with East Germany? What is it? 1.7 trillion spent over 30 years. Has that been, I suppose, an ongoing hemorrhage on the economy?
Well, yes and no. It hasn't been successful, that's for sure. If you look at the way East Germany has developed politically, if you look at the political map of Germany, and if you basically look at it as a in the sort of constituency basis. Now, Germany has proportional representation, so it doesn't work like that politically. But if you sort of superimpose, like, you know, what is it like on a constituency basis, you would find that almost the entire west of Germany, the old West Germany, is CDU, that is the Christian Democrats, center-right party, Angela Merkel's party. If you do the same exercise in the East Germany, you will find that almost every constituency there is the so-called AfD, the Alternative for Germany, which is a far-right party. So there is a massive political division in the country. And this is also about the war in Ukraine. The East Germans do not support the weapons deliveries to Ukraine. The West Germans generally do. So West German public opinion is very much the same as it is in most Western European countries. But in East Germany, there is still a certain, you know, support. I wouldn't say support for Russia, and certainly not necessarily for Putin, but a certain skepticism for the military support of one of Putin's main, main adversaries.
And this rise of the far right, Wolfgang, does that mean we could be looking at a scenario where, God forbid, history could repeat itself?
I don't think so. I think the Marx was once said that history repeats itself as a farce, and I think this is sort of something more like a more likely variant. What could happen at some point if this crisis was not resolved, that the far right would be in power, or it could share power. That is a scenario. It's not going to happen at the next election. I suspect there will be another sort of ineffective coalition that will run the country and not get anything done, and everyone will continue to blame each other for what happened.
Just like everywhere else.
Just like everywhere else, instead of solving the problem. This is the thing. And eventually people might just be fed up and say, look, we have to get rid of this lot and get somebody else in. Doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, it can say for sure the far right is not going to solve the problem either. They are populist. There isn't very much a plausible strategy behind it. Not even a plausibly evil strategy behind it. It's just no strategy behind it. Germany is at the moment not discussing alternative policies. They're all discussing how do we revive the model. So we're going through a cycle, and that might take 5-10 years, where Germany is going to try to compete, to outcompete others. But the situation is very different from 20 years ago when it succeeded. The same strategy succeeded. There was Gerhard Schröder. He undertook very important reforms. But these were sort of competition reforms. It made Germany a little cheaper. But this was the time when China did not compete with Germany. On the contrary, China bought German machinery, German factories, machinery and plant and all these things that they needed to build their factories. Nowadays, the Chinese make the stuff themselves. China has entered into competition with Germany in areas that Germany specialized, not just cars, but also, plant machinery, chemicals, mechanical engineering, all these widgets, basically, that Germany was very, very good at. And the Chinese are, much, much more competitive in this area. So this is no longer, even if the Germans continue to do well, they will not have these big monopoly or oligopoly profits that they used to have. So I think this strategy isn't going to work. What they should be doing, they're not doing, they should be diversifying. They should change their sort of education system, open up to modern, 21st century technologies in the broader digital area, AI. But that there is a big resistance.
All right. Well, look, it's a fascinating subject. It really is a fascinating economy. And your take on it, Wolfgang, is really, really interesting. The book is called Kaput, The End of the German Miracle. And Wolfgang Monschau was the author. Thanks for joining us today, Wolfgang. Good to hear you.
Thank you, Bobby.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.